Hi there, and welcome to the next DBN podcast. My name is Melanie Kant, and today I'm joined by Will Carter. Hi there, Will. How are you?
All right, just getting on now.
You've just been telling me that you're tired. What have you been up to this week, Will?
I decided to move a little bit faster. I've got two main projects on at the moment. I'm doing some custom planters, but what she asked for was a custom cat tree tower as well. And then I've got an oak door that I'm doing, and that's the one I'm putting off because, funny enough, that's harder than the cat tree.
Oh, well, obviously, there's a few DBM members who've been introduced to you in the recent months that you've attended the meeting. So for the benefit of other members who haven't been able to attend those meetings, can you officially introduce yourself? Tell us more about your business.
Yeah, so I've been running my business for just under 5 years now. I've been registered for 3. I originally studied design and engineering at Sunderland Uni. I went into a few different jobs, but after a while, I noticed that there was something different. So I ended up getting an autism diagnosis. And rather than sit back and not do anything, I decided to actually utilize what I'd learned at uni and what I enjoyed doing, and started doing craft carpentry. And I started off with working with scraps of fencing that was getting taken down. And I remember when I first got like a load of fencing, I spent 3 days denailing it, at which point I actually had to get tetanus shot because I'd stood on that many nails that went through my shoes. But that's where I started, and I still use my coffee table that I built out of the original wood that I'd reclaimed from the fence from a nursing home in Durham 5-6 years later. So I consider myself a craft carpenter. And I was just explaining this to a lady this morning that traditionally I've been trained to write stuff down, design stuff, work on the ergonomics, the anthropometrics of a piece of work that I'm doing. And that's what I consider design work, where you actually think it through and you write it down. The craft side is where I go, oh, I've got an idea, I'm going to see if I can do it. And I don't necessarily research it. I use my existing knowledge to try and figure out what the worst ways are so I can figure out what the best ways are. Mm-hmm. So I was making somebody messaged me and said, can you turn me a yarn ball? And I said, I'm not much of a wood turner, but I'm getting into wood turning, so I'll give it a go. And a wood yarn ball is a ball with a little loop hook built in, like carved into the side of the wood. So the first time I did it, I carved out and turned the ball, and then tried to carve the hook into it, at which point the hook snapped because it was only a small bit of wood. So that was 2 days worth of work for nothing. But I learned that what I'll have to do is then put the hook in before I actually turn the ball. So I started turning the wood, and before I started turning the ball, I drilled the hook into it and turned the ball. And then tried to clean it up. That's still not the best method, so I've come up with a new method, and somebody else has seen the picture and asked me if I can make another one. So now I'm hopefully going to figure out the better way to do it. So that's the difference for me between design and craft. It's like science and just playing about. Science is where you write it down. Blow something up, write it down. That's science. If you blow something up, it's just fun. So it's a difference between design and craft.
So what's the most interesting project you've worked on so far then, Will?
Well, whenever I do a river table, it's always quite interesting and fun because wood is cut in different ways to reduce the amount of movement that it actually has. With river tables, for people who don't know, and most people don't seem to know, it's where you take a piece of wood, two pieces of wood with the bark still on, and you turn it inwards, and then you run either glass or epoxy resin through it. Now, with the epoxy resin, it can be absolutely any color that you want. Most people seem to like the sky blue. And so I'm honestly a little sick of the sky blue, but it is the most appealing to the eye when you see it.
Yeah.
I did a river table with two pieces of oak last year for a lady and squared it all up. So it's got this lovely little tiny river running through the center of it. But the offcuts of each piece of wood have actually been utilized to make the seating, the benches that go with it. And then it's got hairpin legs. And I've just sent off a similar one, but with a lot larger of a river running through the center to Nikki Jones Furniture and Interiors in Corbridge, who wanted to do a collaboration on it, because mm-hmm. it's difficult to find registered carpenters that are actually able to do it, because traditionalists don't like it, and people who do like it tend not to have been trained.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really interesting. And how long does it take for you to do something like that?
It takes a day or so to, I was just mentioning the oak door that I've been working on. The reason I've been putting that off is one of the harder tasks with working with wood is to get it flat. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm up to with the oak door. And you have to get everything flat before you start. Now, with the river tables, they don't fit through the machinery, so I've got to create custom jigs to be able to run a flattening bit across the top of it. So that takes about a day, and then sanding it and things like that. And then once it's ready, it takes me a few hours to actually build the mold, because the epoxy resin is very, very liquid. And if there is a tiny hole, it will drip out. And the resin is about 4 times the price of oak. Mm-hmm. Which most people don't actually realize, that's the expensive bit in the middle. For example, 40-50 pounds worth of oak, but £200 worth of resin. So once I've built the mold, then I do the pour, it's measuring it out, making sure all the consistency is right, making sure that it's all mixed in and everything, which and then getting the color right with the pigment, and then you pour it in. And for all the preparation, it takes about half an hour to an hour to actually do the pour. And then you have to wait for 2 days for it to go off. After 1 day, you go in and you make sure that it's all stirred, there's no bubbles, add a little bit of heat if there's bubbles, and then stir it to add your patterns in. If you want patterns, I always think it looks a little bit better with a few swirls in, and then check for any leaks. And on the second day, it should have fully cured, but it's best to leave it another week before you even start to sand it. And then the leveling off and the sanding is a little bit harder, because it's 2 or 3 times the size of the original piece of wood. So then you've got to have another custom unit built to level it off. And then it's a case of sanding, polishing, and even just the oiling and polishing takes about a week to do, because it takes about 5-10 minutes to polish a surface. But then for it to work properly, you can polish it every 20 minutes or so, polish it, let it dry, let it harden, and then polish it again, let it dry, let it harden. So you do one polish a day, and that can take a week to get 4 or 5 layers on before. And that's just the top of the actual table. That's not even including the legs, depending on what way people want to go. So it is quite arduous. I'm probably not charging what I should be, but I do feel like I'm charging a reasonable amount at this point.
Well, there's a lot of time and a lot of skill involved. And so obviously, if somebody wanted to order a table, like the river table, what do you usually say the delivery time is from placing the order to the, obviously, the delivery date?
It's difficult to say. I usually say between 1 month and 2 months to get a custom tabletop, depending on the size and how much resin and all the rest. Working with oak, even when it's dried, it's dried to 5% moisture, but it's still got that bit of moisture. When it's brought into the workshop, it still needs 2 weeks to settle in the workshop before you work on it. Yeah. And then, I mean, with this door, it doesn't have any resin in, but I've quoted them about a month, because between major cuts, especially with cutting them into strips to give the detail, you want to allow it to move, because you don't want to rush it through, and then for everything to move once you've put it together and then start to crack, and that's when you have problems. So it's a bit slow to allow for everything to go right. So for example, I have a bit of a miscommunication with a customer, because what I quoted her was 3 to 4 days worth of work. That's what I was charging her for. Yeah. So she thought it was going to be ready by the end of the week. And I said, no, it takes 2 weeks before the oak settled. Then I have to do all the major cuts, the planing, the flattening, and then I have to leave it to settle. And then I need to do the jointing and things like that. And I said, it's about 1.5 months. It was taking too long for what she needed. So I'm doing it as a pet project at the moment. And I've actually had the design software company that I use, Sharper 3D, they've contacted me and asked for when it's going to be finished because they want to feature it as well. They're an international company, so that's quite nice.
That's really exciting, that, Will. And do you know what? I think you have to understand that these pieces of furniture that you're creating, they are bespoke, but also they are created by just one man, by your hands. It's not as if you can just walk into IKEA and say, I'll have that and I'll take it home now. These pieces of furniture are lovingly made and obviously made with a lot of care and attention. So can I just ask then, have you got like an ideal customer? And when I say an ideal customer, I mean, what's your bread and butter furniture that you like to make?
It's people with a bit of disposable income that want a really nice piece in their house. People who are aware it's not just necessarily a piece of furniture, it's a handmade custom piece that's going to be the standout piece in their room. When I first started doing the river tables, I made an elm table. So I got like a cheap piece of elm, and it was cheap because it had a major defect running through the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I used that defect, cleaned it all out, and then filled it with resin. And it looks like a flat topographical mat type of thing. But with all the grain and everything, it looks like it's got the rise in the map. But then it's got a major lake running through the center of it, and then a handmade oak legs to go with it, with accented joints and all the rest. The problem with me is with me being autistic, I am a little bit overtly honest in the fact that if somebody tells me a budget, I will try to work to that. Whereas most people will hear, I've got an £800 budget. It's a £600 project, but I'll fill it out to £750 to, you know, use up their budget. Sometimes I do get mental fatigue and stuff. So some days I can't go in the workshop because it's tools that will take my arm off. So I sometimes need a little downtime, which is why I don't go in the workshop every day.
Yeah.
So customers that understand it, even though it's quoted for 3 days worth of work, it's not going to be 3 days. And I'm trying to be as reasonable as possible with the price, but they understand that if they wait, they will get a perfect piece. I do have a YouTube channel if you want to see how the river tables are poured and the other furniture is made. Some are short, some are complete projects, but they do give a bit of a visual behind it as well.
That would be lovely. I think what we'll do is when we launch your podcast, we'll have a link to your YouTube channel as well, so people can see you actually in action on your work. And finally, obviously, we're absolutely thrilled that you've become a DBN member, Will. It's lovely to see your face on a monthly basis when you come along to the meetings.
When I wake up in time for them.
When you wake up. You're always there.
Just for anybody who isn't aware, the first monthly meeting I actually came along to, I thought it was a 10 o'clock start, so I came in at 10:05, and people were talking, and then Gary said, oh, and we're going to end there, and I thought, wait, what's happening? And I looked, and this is the problem of being self-employed, and going to the workshop half days, so I start in the afternoon, and an early start for me is 11 o'clock, so...
Do you know, I'll let you into a secret. I think everyone's done it. I've done it more than once. In fact, I think one day I turned up for a meeting and it finished like 5 minutes before. So I wouldn't worry about that too much, Will. But what would you like to get out of DBN over the next 12 months? Tell us all about that.
Honestly, I'm moving. When I first started off, I was just posting a few things on Facebook or on Etsy about things that I was making to try and sell. When I registered my business officially and got insurance, I started doing craft markets. But honestly, craft markets are too stressful for somebody like me. I'm environmentally sensitive, so I struggle with lots of light and I struggle with lots of noise. And it takes 2 or 3 days for me to recover afterwards. I've been working with a mentor for the past few years who is funded through Spectrum Enterprises. And we were talking about my business model and we revamped my business plan. And I've been moving more and more away from craft markets because it's just too stressful and it's too much of an inconsistency when it comes to pay, because the stuff I produce, I'm asking like £50 to £100. It's not necessarily something that somebody has on their person at that moment. It is purchase. So I've been moving more to working with other businesses for them to sell my items. As I say, I've just entered into my first big partnership with Nikki Jones. She's doing the legs and I've done the tabletop and that's more what I'd prefer. I'd prefer to work with businesses and for them to deal with the customers, or yeah. work with businesses to have something great for their office or something like that. If DBN can put me in touch with people within the network of somebody who'd like, who has an existing desk, for example, a lot of desks or tables, the actual legs are solid hardwood, but the top is chipboard with a small veneer because it's so difficult to get wood flat. Mm-hmm. So they just don't. They use manufactured board. I can replace the tops. Your desk might be your original desk, but it's got a revamped top. If it is a solid top, I can sand it back and create a river running through it to do a river conversion, which I've been doing more and more, where people have bought things from Oak Furniture Land and they just want, they've had a change around in the living room and they just want something that just fits in with it. So it's just a case of sanding back, repainting, re-oiling, but also putting in the river into it. So it's a really standout piece. I can work with most businesses depending on what they want, or to be able to have somebody to sell the pieces that I'm making, or an outlet, because sometimes I do small pieces just to see if I can do it. And then it's trying to find a buyer for that. If DBN can help put me in touch with buyers. And the other thing is working to try and get a workshop is one of the things, because my side project, I have a small CIC to try and help people with hidden disabilities. I talk about the positive side of neurodiversity, promoting neurodiversity. And I'd quite like to get into talks with businesses about the positivities about hiring somebody that is neurodiverse. On that note, I've started a research project with Northumbria University's business team.
Oh, wow.
They're handing off to master's graduate students for their thesis to investigate the barriers for people with hidden disabilities accessing gainful employment, and what are the reasonable adjustments that people can make towards helping people get into work. And sometimes it is just taking the words, that's what we've always done, and removing them and saying, well, what can we do? And I do believe that this is what we've always done can be quite detrimental. And that's things like the really, really successful businesses of now said, and we're going to do it a different way. And I do think we can do that to benefit businesses, as well as helping somebody who is desperate to work, giving them a chance to get into work.
Well, do you know, that it's really interesting to hear. And I'm sure that if any of the DBN listeners, or even beyond, because it doesn't mean to say that it's just DBN members that are going to listen to this, if anyone can help you find a workshop or is interested in obviously working with you in some way, shape or form, what's the best way for them to contact you, Will?
I have an email address. I'm more likely to be able to respond to an email than anything else. So my email is will@ir8bespoke.com. So that's ir8bespoke.com. It was meant to be a clever name when I first started off, where I rate my bespoke craft carpentry, but people say, well, it just sounds a bit aggressive. And I said, no, it just sounds passionate is what it sounds. So, it's ir8, but it's pronounced ir8bespoke.com.
Oh, that's brilliant. Will, it's been lovely to chat to you this morning, and hopefully we'll see you along at the next DBN meeting. So maybe you set your alarm and you come along at 9 and not 10.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Right, lovely to talk to you, Will. Speak to you soon. Bye.